Gertie Hallam always went to the branch post office in her town because the postal employees were friendly. Now, nobody called Gertie Gertrude. Perhaps it was because she was so friendly. They called her Gertie. And she was known around town as a woman in her 90s, still with a sunny disposition. Her husband had passed away some 20 years before from a rare form of leukemia. She had been the secretary out at the high school. Hundreds of students coming in and out of the office. Surrounded by many people. She had children. Children made the home that her and her husband shared warm. With activity, with celebrations, with holidays. But as time wore on and her husband passed away, and the children moved away, not coming home near as often as they used to, as they grew in age, Miss Gertie, 90 years old, was never very tall. As she aged, her steps became shorter, more deliberate. Her world that was once warm was now a little colder and a little bit lonelier. She had gone to the post office to buy stamps. It was around the Christmas holiday. So imagine she comes in from the cold outside to the inside where it's 90 degrees because people lack sense. And she's bundled down and there's a long line. And people in this town were friendly. They talked to their neighbors. And Miss Gertie stood there. The holiday cheer was pleasant. And somebody was bound to ask Miss Hallam what she was doing in line. She said, "I have to buy stamps." And the person that asked her pointed her to a machine and said there was no need to wait in line because there was a stamp machine in the lobby. And Miss Gertie said, "I know, but the machine won't ask me about my arthritis." There's a kind touch that people can have that goes further than a machine. And we as Christians need to develop that same kindness. First and foremost, because we have the ultimate example in kindness. We have the kindness of God. If you'll be turning with me in your Bible, we're going to be in the book of Psalms through much of this very first point. We find in the Old Testament various scriptures that show and imply the kindness of God. We find His kindness in nature. In the 65th Psalm, verses 9 through 13, we read, "You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. Your water, it furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy." We have an amazing God who made a beautiful world for us to live in. A world with much. Our God is a kind God who's taken care of our needs. When He blew life's breath into Aaron's nostrils, it was on the first try. God didn't invent Adam number one, and then Adam number one turned blue in the face and died, and God went, "Oh, I forgot to create oxygen." And then created Adam number two. And Adam number two suffered from being hungry and died, and God was like, "Oh, silly me. Should have made food for him to eat." God prepared the world and created it for us. We find that in the events of history that we see the kindness of God. In the 145th Psalm, verses 1 through 7, if you'll turn with me over there to the 145th Psalm, verses 1 through 7, the psalmist writes, "I will extol you, my God and King. Bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Our generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness throughout the generations of the world. God has been mighty. The beauty of the Bible, over 40 inspired writers writing in beautiful harmony. We see the mighty works of kindness for God's people. We also find instruction in His Word. If God didn't give us His plan of salvation, and we had to guess, how many of us would think, oh, well, I must be baptized? I don't think many of us would. Luckily, we have a God who makes things abundantly clear what He expects of us. In the 119th Psalm, verses 65 through 68, what we read is, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." And along the same line, we find in the 25th Psalm, verses 8 through 10. If you'll turn with me there. The 25th Psalm, verses 8 through 10. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep His covenant and His testimony." God is kind to understand that we miss the mark. We miss His mark. We see that God is kind in other ways as well. Knowing how mankind is, in the book of Nahum, throughout chapter 1, we see the downfall of Nineveh. And in the verses that surround it, Nahum is assuring safety in God while announcing the doom of Nineveh, the capital of their Assyrian foe. In Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him." He knows His people. He knows who's obedient. He knows who's right with Him. God is also kind to the poor and to those who follow Him. In the 68th Psalm, verses 7 through 10, if you'll turn with me there, the 68th Psalm, verses 7 through 10. "O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked. The heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy." Under the old law, what we found is those who owned land were to keep the corners of their land from being gleaned. So that would leave something for the poor. If you read the book of Ruth, what I like to call a beautiful biblical Cinderella story, Ruth was going to go glean from those corners. Yet Boaz said she could glean from the field. Find that heartwarming. We also see that God is kind to those who trust Him. In the 34th Psalm in verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." The word of God is sweet to the lips. And the obedience to God's word leads to a beautiful life. The limitations that God puts on the Christian today are for our good. And when we meet sisters in Christ like Ola May, who even from her bed at the nursing home was sharing the gospel. I know of one woman who is a nurse there that obeyed the gospel because of that study. When you live a life devoted for God, the shame and regret of sin is greatly minimalized as we focus on doing what is right and not falling into the devil's snare. We find in the New Testament kindness from God similar to that in the Old Testament. Because God is unchanging. The kindness God exhibits is the same from the beginning until the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Over to Luke chapter 6 in verse 35. Previously, Jesus spoke of how easy it is to give a credit line to those who you know will return. And you know that doesn't make people special. Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, but love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and evil. There are many who are lost this morning. It is up to us who are diligent in our service to God to share that gospel, which is the ultimate act of kindness. Like a beggar leading other beggars to bread, we as Christians can be kind to those who are hurting around us. We also find in the giving of His Son, God was ultimately kind to us. We look over to Titus chapter 3. Verses 4 through 7. Titus chapter 3 and verses 4 through 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The opportunity that we have to spend with God in eternity is because of God's kindness and love for us. And this didn't stop in the first century. This doesn't stop today. This kindness goes on until the Lord returns, even in the ages to come. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, Paul, writing from prison, penned, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Verse 8 is so often misconstrued by our denominational friends. We often will hear that they're saved by grace alone or saved by faith alone. And as I've said before, those who are bad at math are saved by grace alone and by faith alone. Can't be one or the other. But what we find is for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not our own doing. Because we are baptized into Christ, immersed into the watery grave of baptism, that is not us earning our salvation. That is our way of being obedient to what God has commanded that we do in receiving the gift that is prepared for us. There's nothing magic in the water back here. You won't find any magic that comes along with that. But those who do take on Christ in baptism are doing so out of obedience. The kindness that God shared for us is not only for us, but in the ages to come. So what is the Christian's response to this kindness that God has shown? Kindness is a part of the garment that we're to put on. If you'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. What we need to remember is that we are a reflection of how Jesus was and how we are to be. We have some brethren that walk around like they were baptized in pickle juice. Just a mad mug. You just don't want to have much to do with them. And if you do try to have much to do with them, they'll set you straight. Leave them alone. If this is you, it's not Jesus that you're living. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, put on as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Everything binds together. We put on Christ as we put on a suit. But this is a suit that we don't take off. We don't put on Christ on Sundays, take Christ off and live like the devil through the rest of the week and expect for God to be pleased. If we're going to show the kindness that God has given us, we are going to devote our lives every day to the sharing of His gospel, to growing in His Word, and to be the best reflection that we can possibly be. Kindness is to characterize our treatment to one another. When we have visitors like we have today, what they should see is kindness. A people that truly love one another because we do truly love one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Again, we have that perfect example. It's difficult to be kind to people that are mean. Much more difficult would it be to continue to pet a porcupine after you've been stuck a few times. You find a dog that's had a couple of those, hate it when you forget how to word, quills. Absolutely. See a dog that gets those quills in its face. The dog doesn't want to play with the porcupine. But we as Christians must continue to share the love that God has given to us in acts of kindness to those around us, hopefully able to break away those outer layers of hurt and pain that often is a response that we find in that hurt, the angerness, that we can melt those outer layers and be able to get to the heart of people and share with them the love of God. You know, we often tell our young women, tell our women, they should be women in like in Proverbs 31. When I proposed to Lisa, I read Proverbs 31 to her because I had a strong belief that she would be that Proverbs 31 woman. And so far, I'm right. Now, with having three kids all under four, she might snap and go crazy. But as of right now, Proverbs 31 woman. In Proverbs 31 verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. You know, I heard a beautiful story about the ladies' Bible class on Tuesday morning, and I think it was this past week. Someone a little different came to Bible class, and the women in the class studied with her to help her learn the gospel. Regardless of if she is obedient, they showed love, not only helping her physical needs, but giving her an abundance in her spiritual needs. That's beautiful. That's kindness. And I'd encourage you, if you don't attend, and you can attend either of our ladies' Bible classes, Tuesday mornings or Thursday evenings, if I were a woman, I would want to surround myself with friends who are kind and who are loving. And that would be a good bet for you to do. Because they don't let me come. Because I'm not a lady. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul summed this point up beautifully. The Christian's reflection to God's kindness can be summed up in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's be a people who looks for opportunities to help. So what are the fruits of kindness? The rest of this year, we're going through our Ending on a High Note series. Each lesson is designed to help build up attributes of Christians so that as 2015 begins, we're going to be ready to have the best 2015 of our Christian, or the best year of our Christian lives. It's going to be our only 2015. I guess I need to... Well, that's the only one we're getting, but it'll be the best year of our Christian lives. The fruits of our kindness, the word for kindness in the Greek describes the sympathetic kindliness or sweetness of temper, which puts others at ease and shrinks from giving pain. This kindness, therefore, describes a quality that makes other people feel at ease with you. They know you're kind. They know you're gentle. And as Chris stated last week in his lesson on gentleness, gentleness does not mean weak. We can be strong. We can stand firm for the faith, yet be gentle and be kind. In the Septuagint, the word we find for good in the 106th Psalm in verse 1 refers not only to God's moral goodness, but rather to His kindness expressed in His mercy. In the 106th Psalm in verse 1, we read, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." Our unchanging God will continue to love us, desire us to be obedient, and when we pass on to our reward, be it good or be it a negative reward, it will be from our doing, but the kindness of God ensures that if we are obedient, that reward will be amazing. That reward will be top, best, the greatest ever. More than we can think of or imagine in our little brains. In the 145th Psalm in verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made." Today, what we find is an attack on the church. Christians are called bigots because they condemn homosexuality, intolerant because they oppose abortion, religious extremists because they condemn sin, and narrow-minded because we believe there is one faith, one Lord, and one baptism, as Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 state, "Yet in spite of these attacks, we're to remain humble, loving, kind, and gentle. We can stand firm, yet not be nasty. We can stand true to God and not sling nasty fire back." If we're not showing the, if we are not the face of kindness that we could be, the life that we are living is the face of cruelty, intolerance, and ridicule. Is this the face that Jesus would have us to show the world that's around? We look in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Paul writes to the church in Colossae, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Those who are out on the left, who are slowly leaving the truth of God's Word, or trying to recreate the wheel pertaining to reaching out into our communities. I remember a friend of mine telling me that they had gone to a playground and tossed some balls around with some of the kids. And they might even have brought sandwiches. And that was kind. That was nice. But when I asked him, "Well, did you try to study the Bible? Did you let them know about Jesus? Did you share the good news with these people that you were helping?" "No. We just went out and were good examples by going, playing, and giving sandwiches." Now, that's nice. But the best gift and the most kindness we can show is sharing what's important. And those who are lost need to be given every opportunity to be saved. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, again, the final scripture of this point ties the point together. What are the fruits of kindness? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, "Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing." The reputation of Christians holding to the gospel depends on us, one person at a time. Let's show the kindness that perhaps others have not. Let's show love that others have missed. And let's be strong in our faith and not be the hypocrites that opposition hold up as a straw man argument to avoid Christianity. Let's give no one around us an excuse to not be followers of Christ. Let's be kind, and the fruits of kindness will permeate through our community. I want to give you a challenge for this week. There's a spot in your notes in the bulletin. Write this challenge down. I want you to do something kind for someone while expecting nothing in return. Do something kind for someone while expecting nothing in return. That's open-ended, isn't it? Figure out what you can do to make a positive impact on someone's life. The conclusion of our lesson this morning, and I implore you, please don't start yanking the songbooks and don't start zipping up your Bible. Let me tell you, that's offensive. You work and you study, and as you say, conclusion, zip, zip, zip. It's like they have checked out. Let's stay checked in just for a minute longer, okay? We have the ultimate example of kindness in God our Father. Through the pages of the Bible, we can see God's love for us. The response to that is we can find what God expects of us and what an appropriate response to God's kindness should be. And when we live that life that we should be living, that every Christian should be living, our kindness will bear much fruit in our families as well as our communities. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one. Still, don't check out. Hang with me. Oftentimes, we'll see our denominational friends that will get part of this right. They'll get confess. Or they'll pull out believe. God has done His part. God sent His Son. Jesus shed His blood. The Spirit revealed the Word through inspired writers. We have a part too. The gift is free, but we must be obedient to receive that gift. As Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who cries to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, only those who obey the will of the Father. We must hear the gospel, as Romans 10:17, Romans 10:13, John 6:44 and 45 state. We must believe in that gospel. John 8:24, Hebrews 11:6, John 3:16. We must repent of our sins, that changing direction, that turning from a sinful life to live a life that is for God. We find that in Acts 2.38 as well as Acts 17.30. And as Christ said in Luke 13.3, repent or likewise perish. We also must confess, as Romans 10.9 and 10 states, and as we find the Ethiopian eunuch doing in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, confession is important, but it is not the end. We must be baptized into Christ. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, baptism, which now corresponds to this, saves you. As Romans chapter 6 verses 3 and 4 says, when we're baptized, we come up from the watery grave of baptism to walk in a newness of life. The Bible states at baptism is where we have our sins forgiven. But once saved, always saved is not a true doctrine. We must continue to be faithful throughout our lives. When we do fall short, when we do fall down, we repent, we get back up, and we continue to fight. You may be in one of these categories this morning. If you weren't baptized for the remission of your sins into the Lord's church, not into a community church or into a denomination, but into the church of the Bible. If you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to do so. We'd love to study with you. But if you're struggling with remaining faithful, don't struggle any longer. We've got a family that loves you, that will be kind, understanding, ready to lift you up, get you back on your feet, ready to fight, linking arms as we go into the community, sharing the soul-saving gospel, living the best life that there is to live. If you're hurting spiritually, don't hurt any longer. Do whatever it takes to get right with God as we stand and as we sing.